It is an honor to be up here to read the scriptures for all of you people. It's in Acts chapter 2, verses 32 through 36. And it reads, "This Jesus, raised up again, to which we are all witness. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both seen and have heard. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." So read the scriptures.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm grateful for this opportunity to speak before you, for the opportunity to be here today. I'm not used to PowerPoint presentations, so bear with me. I'll go through these scriptures so that you can write them down or have time to look at them. Every blessing that I enjoy is because the Lord God brought into my life a man named Roger Beacham, who took the time to ask me if I wanted a Bible study. I was looking, and there are people out here in our community who are looking for truth. They're tired of lies. But we as the church have got to do the labor that is necessary. And I hope that this lesson will be something that you can take home and study and share with somebody else in your life. Now, if I go beyond 60 minutes, Paul, raise your hand, okay? What I want us to pay particular attention to in this passage is the fact that God placed Jesus in the position of authority that he has.
Yes, sir.
And that he is both Lord and Christ. He is the anointed one. You know, everybody likes the idea of, well, some people like the idea of a Savior. Some of us in the world worship ourselves, but around the holiday season and Christmas time, everybody loves the idea of the baby Jesus. And then, you know, the holiday has become more of a commercial event than a religious holiday. But you see, when we obeyed the gospel, we agreed to allow Jesus Christ to be our Lord. That means that we are going to listen to him and do what he tells us to do. But I have to go to the scripture and show others why this is true. I have to see it for myself. Why is he Lord? Why is he my Savior? And that's what I want to share with you this morning. As far as being the Christ, the anointed one of God, Matthew 17 and verse 5, at the Mount of Transfiguration, God himself confessed, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." In Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, "That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord. In a monarchy, the king rules.
Yes, sir.
He is the authority. Now, it was mentioned in Bible class that the Pope in Rome had strong influence over some of these kings. But in a monarchy, nobody tells the king what to do. But if you study countries like France and England, kings die and somebody else comes, takes his place. Well, in the kingdom of God, Christ is Lord. He is king, and there will be no overthrow. And since his kingdom is eternal, he will be king for all eternity.
Yes, sir.
Now, in Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, we're told there is one body, there is one Lord, and there is one God and Father of all. We as the church are a body. We are united. How are we united? We are united in faith, in our understanding of the Scriptures. We understand that there is one Lord. There is one living God. And that living God is not just over us, but He's over the entire world. If you are a human being, you are accountable to the law of God.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you're a human being, you have to go through Christ to get to God. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, all things are under his feet. He is head over all things to the church, for the church is his body. Paul asked the question in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, specifically in verse 13, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you?" Drop down to verse 18 and 19 of 1 Corinthians 1. Why are we here today? Why did we assemble together here? 1 Corinthians 1, 18 and 19 says, "The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but to the saved it is the power of God." That's why we're here. This is the way that God has chosen for His word to be presented. We come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Prayers, breaking of bread, singing, and teaching. And incidentally, in Acts chapter 2, he's seated at the right hand of God. The right hand denotes power. He has power. He had the power to overcome sin. He had the power to raise himself from the dead. Now, I'll talk a little bit more along that line in just a minute. How powerful is the Word? Incidentally, and this scripture is not up there, John 1, 1 through 3, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made without Him." So the Word was involved in the creation of the universe and everything in it. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, God spake. Look at the verses in there. God spake, it happened. God spake, it happened. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we're told that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And specifically important here, it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. This word will change your life.
Yes, sir.
And this is the only thing that has a lasting effect on your life. It sticks if you want it. But you gotta want it. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But what's he looking for? He's looking for people who diligently seek him, who desire what he has. It requires effort. It requires more than a Bible class and a Sunday sermon. This word can change the life of an addict. It can change the life of someone who suffers from depression. It can change the life, ladies and gentlemen, of somebody who's lost a loved one.
Yes, sir.
Look at Las Vegas right now. Those people who died. A senseless act. I'm telling you, if the church acts, the church has got to wake up to the reality of what we're dealing with here. We could walk out this door and be killed in an instant. Let's work and share this word with somebody else. I don't know who will receive it. But I know somebody who does. The one that gave us the commandment to go and teach.
Yes, sir.
Time is short, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Hebrews 4:13. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He sees it all. He knows it all. He knows what we think before we speak. He sees what we do in the dark. He knows. Don't think that he doesn't know that we have problems. He knows. But we have to go to him for solutions and seek wisdom and knowledge and apply it properly. Hebrews 4:15. He is our high priest because he was... Why? Why is he in charge? Why is he the high priest? Because he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to be a human being. No excuses. God, you don't understand. I'm a person, you're deity, you don't get it. Yes, he does. His son understands. He's got wounds to prove it. Now, Ephesians 5:23, and this goes back to some verses I mentioned previously about the church. Jesus is the head of the church and the savior of the body. Now, we've discussed a little bit about Jesus as Lord in the short time we're here. Let's talk about Savior, Deliverer, one that comes to rescue. If you're drowning and somebody throws you a life raft, you're thankful for that, aren't you? If you need a paramedic or a police officer and they come to your aid, you're thankful for that, right? Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. That is, He died in our place. He did something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. And the reason we can't do it for ourselves is because we are not without sin. He was without sin, blameless. Look at Romans 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is by God's grace that we have the opportunity to obey the gospel of Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the person has to be willing to submit to the will of God. In, I believe it's Romans 3:24. We are justified by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You cannot be redeemed to God. You cannot be reconciled to God any other way. I don't care if you live in China, Russia, the Middle East, France, the United States. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. There is one God, one Father, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and God is God of all. The Scriptures teach this. You have to accept it by faith. No faith, God is not pleased. Search the Scriptures as the Bereans did. In Acts 17. They were more noble than the Thessalonians because they did not take Paul's word for it. They went home and they looked up the Scriptures of what they had to see if what he said was true. Do we do that when we sit in a Bible class or a sermon? Verse 25 of Romans 5. God hath set him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. The shedding of human blood. Read the book of Malachi and see what Malachi wrote by inspiration. God was disgusted with the lame and sick animals that they were bringing and how the high priest had perverted his sanctuary. Now, you can go all the way back to Genesis 3:15 and where it talks about bruising the head and bruising the heel. That's the first prophecy of Christ in the Bible. A blow to the head is usually a death blow, right? Who's he referring to there? Who did Christ overcome on the cross? Satan. He overcame the power of death. 1 John 2 and verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. There are a lot of different religions out here. There are a lot of different nationalities out here. But my Bible tells me that God is the God of the whole world. Remember when the disciples of John followed him and they said, Rabbi. So I can't even remember what they said, but remember what Jesus said, come and see. Did he beat him over the head with a hammer and say, if you don't obey me, you know? No, he said, you want it? Come get it. And I apologize for not knowing by memory that passage. I don't have it written down. But it's in John where John's disciples followed him. And all right. 1 John 4 and verse 10. God loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now let's look at the birth of Christ for just a minute. Matthew chapter 1. If we don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ, we are wasting our time here today. This is pointless. Because he would be just like you and me if he was merely a human being. You see, Christ is deity and Christ is humanity. He is both. He understands both sides of the situation. If you look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, "And she shall bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. It says they're a virgin. The Bible also tells me that Joseph didn't know Mary until she brought forth her firstborn son. But yet, I was listening to a Catholic station. I like to learn, and I listen to religious radio stations now and then. And they polled ministers across the country, and 80% of ministers in this poll did not believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Why are you preaching? What are you doing? It says it here. But again, you have to have faith. You've got to believe it. So, there it is. He was born of a virgin. All right. Matthew 10. I don't want to go there just yet. I'm not ready. Do you see how the scriptures are fulfilled in Christ?
Yes.
Do you see how the most important figure in the history of humanity is Jesus Christ? Now, how many years ago did this occur? What, 2017 years ago? You know, something like that? And there's still Bibles being printed? It's still in print to this day. And yet you go out here in the world, people will blaspheme God. They talk about God. People are searching for something. Study humanism. That's the belief that I'm my own God. Well, we need more than ourselves, I'll tell you that right now. Just look at the problems we've got. The scripture that brings me comfort, because let's understand something. Sometimes we pray and we don't get the answers we want, or we don't get it fast enough. God, no, if you are a child of God, especially, He knows what's going on in your life. And He knows the source of all the problems you possess. Some problems are problems that we create ourselves. Some problems are problems that somebody else brings into our lives. Matthew 10, verse 28. Where can you go with problems? I'm drowning in problems. And to you, your problems are the most important problems in the world. Sometimes it's difficult for us to see that maybe there are others who've been through what we've been through or are going through something even worse. But you know what? There's somewhere I can go. and I can rest. I had a friend, he said he went on vacation to Florida to visit family. I said, how was your vacation? He said, well, it wasn't much of a vacation because we were hopping from house to house, you know, visiting people. He said, I didn't get any rest. That was his vacation. There's a difference between vacation and rest. There's a difference between sleep and rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I got to do something. I got to learn. I got to study. I got to study, folks. I got to learn who this man was and who he is and what he expects of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Because life can be a problem sometimes. But I can go to this word, and I can go before the throne of God in prayer as a child of God, and he's listening. If I'm living right and I'm doing right to the best of my ability, he hears every word that comes out of my mouth in that prayer. But just like Jonah, who was told to go to Nineveh, who wasn't told that there were all those souls that did not know their right hand from their left, I don't know what's going on. But God does, and we have to trust him. What is your need this morning? Are you here visiting? You're not a member of the Church of Christ? If somebody doesn't ask you for a Bible study, come to me, I'll do it. We have visitors come in here, we shake their hands, have a nice day, come back. What if they go out here and are killed in the parking lot? God's not playing. This is not a game. This is real life. But be of good cheer. Be of comfort, because Jesus Christ overcame the world. And he can give you rest that I can't give you. That my wife can't give me. My children can't give me. My doctor cannot give me a pill that's going to give me the rest that this word will give. But you have to study. And you have to come to a realization that there's something I must do to be saved. Hear the word. Do you believe it? Search the scriptures. Study more if you have to. Grab somebody and say, I need a Bible study now. Let's get together. Let's do this. It's that important. And when you study with others, you know what? You grow. You grow in a knowledge because you have to. I didn't tell everybody to have pen and paper when they came in here. But if you haven't today, in the future, why don't you have a little notepad and just jot down these scriptures that you hear? Go home. See if it's for real. Study them. He's Lord in Christ. Do you want it? You need it. Brothers and sisters in this room, if you meet somebody in here you don't know, ask them for a study. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?